Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, Sammy P with you on a Wednesday morning. We are live on X this hour. Check us out. Bet_Sweats. Sam at SB Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski. Now joining the show, we've got Davis Matic. You find him everywhere. He's got the Swolecast, Takecast, Underdog Fantasy at Davis Matic over on X. Davis, how has the season treated you? Take it whatever direction you'd like, whether it be fantasy, gambling, prop betting, sides, whatever you think.
You know, thus far, it's actually been a pretty kind season in terms of the prop betting stuff and in fantasy. You know, we'll see if it continues that way. We are on a 3-year trend of passing and yardage going down across the league. Although now it's impacting everyone. This is a 10-year low in yards per pass attempt, 10-year low in yards per rush attempt. Scoring is actually up a little bit due to the new kickoff rule. But basically, if you like offense, it's a pretty bad product on the field on Sundays and Thursday nights and Sunday nights and Monday nights. If you want offense, you got to watch it on Saturday.
Or we could break down the Sunday morning game with a rookie quarterback playing overseas. How do you even start with Cleveland going to Dylan Gabriel? Like, what goes into the magic sauce when you're trying to break down what to bet there?
Well, I mean, I actually am intimately familiar with Dylan Gabriel because he attended my favorite university, so I got to watch a bunch of him play for the University of Oklahoma. I actually used to sit next to my grandmother at church service at the University of Oklahoma Chapel on Sunday nights. Dylan Gabriel is, if you want a comp for him, I would say he, how about Teddy Bridgewater, right? Pop gun arm, hyper accurate. It's one thing that a lot of NFL coaches will tell you over time is you cannot teach accuracy. It was actually one of Mike Lynch's things that he would do, where he would take his quarterbacks out and he would have them attempt to throw a baseball at a stop sign when he was recruiting them. And if they couldn't hit the stop sign, he wouldn't recruit them because he's like, I can't teach you how to do that over time. And Gabriel can definitely do that. Joe Flacco is the worst quarterback in the NFL. Lowest PFF grade, lowest EPA added per play of any quarterback in the NFL. So I don't really think this is that crazy of a move, and I actually expect the Cleveland offense to probably look a little bit better with Gabriel under center.
Let's talk about running backs, because in the fantasy world, like, that's the number one ad, right? People were checking this morning, did I get Woody Marks? Did I get Woody Marks? And then many of them end up being disappointed. We've talked a lot about this offensive rookie of the year race, and I think we're going to keep talking about it because you could make a legit argument, especially now you got another quarterback in the fray here starting for the Browns. Like, it's up for grabs between 10 guys, I guess. Is there someone that you love? Cause I know you have strong opinions on guys coming into the NFL before they even play it down. I mean, Hampton finally has his breakout. Genty has his breakout against the Bears. You've got Judkins now. He's going to clearly be the workhorse guy in Cleveland. It looks like it's trending towards Marks with the Texans. And then, okay, we got a couple quarterbacks that are rookie starting. We've got a Buka who's been lights out at receiver. Like, Warren was a favorite at one time. Do you have a bet that you would make? Is there someone that you love that you think is going to take over the rest of the season as an offensive rookie?
You know, I will tell you the skin in the game answer. The first wager that I placed on this category is a guy who definitely is not going to get it because he's not healthy. I bet on Jalen Royals on, I bet him at 250-1 to win offensive rookie of the year. I actually think that bet could have drawn live in the way this season has played out had he not injured his knee in the preseason. He injured his knee in the preseason. They played Juju Smith-Schuster. I think this market is basically all kind of overpriced right now because Igbuka, Genty, Hampton, Dart, like if I was pricing the market, Dart would certainly be the favorite. But I will give you a 500-1 wager that I guarantee, I'll guarantee you right now, guys, he gets one vote for Offensive Rookie of the Year, minimum. I'll give you Armon Membu, the offensive lineman for the New York Jets. He has been basically one of the three best linemen in football this season. He's got a PFF run blocking and pass blocking grade above 90. Runs to his side of the offensive line have been twice as efficient in EPA per play than runs to the other side of the line. It's definitely a fancy wager, and I think it's one of those where you get some closing line value and you get to feel real sharp for a couple weeks when like the mainstream football content picks on into how sharp you were. He's definitely not going to win because, I mean, how can an offensive lineman win that award? But you will at least get to feel smart about it for a while.
Sticking with offensive linemen, I'm curious what you think about the Chargers and how this boat can keep moving forward because we know about Slater. He's off of the year. All is out for a while, I'm guessing. And Herbert's been getting cracked, man. I mean, he's getting hit. It feels like on every series he takes a huge hit. I'm not going to ask you, will he stay upright? Because nobody has that answer. But can they continue to play at this level when their quarterback is under such duress?
Yeah, I mean, Greg Roman's really good offensive coordinator. I think they have all the ingredients they would need to develop like a total quick passing offense. And that's what defenses are giving you anyways, right? Defenses want everything in front of them. Defenses are going to push you to the middle of the field, dare you to make those throws. They also do have an offensive line combination they have not tried yet. And I only know this because I am like a real, real football nerd. But a lot of Chargers fans think that Andre James is actually a better center than Bradley Bozeman. And one thing the Chargers have not tried on offensive line this year is sliding Bozeman to guard and then having Andre James start at center. There are a lot of combinations you can play on an offensive line, but I do wonder if that's one of the things they do. They also play this guy, Tucker Fisk, the 300-pound fullback, at you know, H-back style guy. We've seen the Bills have a ton of success basically running, you know, the thick six, like six offensive linemen. We've seen actually a lot of teams kind of transition to the six offensive linemen thing over the last 2 years as running has become more efficient than passing for a lot of teams. I wonder if that's a situation they go in. And we really, I don't even think I've seen kind of the final form of the Chargers offense because Ladd McConkey stinks if you took him in fantasy football right now. But like all of his advanced metrics in terms of separation, his ESPN open score, they're all still really good. I don't think Ladd is any worse than he was last year. So that's something they haven't even fully exploited yet.
You're a Chiefs guy, right? That's your team?
Yes, that is true.
So is all right in the world now that you get some explosion on offense, or was it more about the opponent?
No, I mean, definitely you could tell that the entire offense was built around the presence of Xavier Worthy, losing him on the third play of the season. Basically, Matt Nagy just threw his hands up and was like, man, I don't really know what to do with these jabronis. I mean, 16 targets for Hollywood Brown in week one, then 16 targets combined for Tyquan Thornton the next 2 weeks. Those guys change positions. You get Worthy back. You immediately see what he opens up, right? Way more room underneath. It was the best, you know, success rate rushing game that the Chiefs have had. It was the first four touchdown game for Patrick Mahomes since week three of 2023. It was the first time they'd scored over 30 points in over a calendar year. Like, it's incredible how much the return of Worthy was there. And another thing, I keep waiting for this to happen, but eventually, Juwan Taylor, the right tackle, who everyone knows from the broadcast for all the false starts, he's going to get benched for Jalen Moore. And I expect that to be, when they do that, I expect that to be a positive switch.
We're looking at the MVP market right now at BetMGM, and Josh Allen's basically minus 110. I mean, it's him and then it's everybody else. The question I wanted to ask you, will Jalen Hurts have the stats to potentially justify a bet? You can get him like 18 to 1, 20 to 1 range. The team keeps winning. All he does is silence critics, but it's not sexy. Will he have the numbers to justify a bet?
I don't think Jalen Hurts will. I also don't think Josh Allen will. The Bills have moved into their next era of football, which is that they are happy to let James Cook get touchdowns. They are happy to play six offensive linemen. Like, Josh Allen right now only has 7 passing touchdowns through 4 games. His rushing stats, you know, he's got fewer yards per game than you would expect. He does have the 3 rushing touchdowns. Like, I definitely would not bet Josh Allen at this number. I wouldn't. If I was going to place one wager for MVP right now, I would say my number one, particularly the bet MGM price at 15 to 1, would be Jordan Love. The second one that I would do, I take advantage of this 2-game absence for Jaden Daniels. I believe Jaden Daniels is available at 35 to 1 at bet MGM. The NFC is going to just be a way easier conference to rack up a bunch of a bunch of late season. They also play in that really weak division. But yeah, Jordan Love to me, like I would have Jordan Love ahead of Mahomes right now in MVP odds, I think, because Mahomes is not going to win it.
Yeah, probably not. With Davis Maddock here, this is Bet Sweats Bet MGM Network. What about Thursday Night Football? Tomorrow we've got the Rams, and man, whoa, they just got bet again. It's up to 7. Rams a 7-point favorite against the Niners. Anything side total props you really like in this game?
I mean, I really like the Rams for Survivor. Short week for the 49ers. Purdy looked awful in that game on Sunday. Ricky Pearsall probably not playing. Juwan Jennings currently listed with 4 separate injuries. They obviously have multiple injuries on the defensive line, multiple injuries on the offensive line. They're like they are just cooked. This is think if this was the NBA, we'd be calling this a schedule loss. You know, teams have the 82. It's just like, what do you want the 49ers to do in this spot? I guess in terms of props, I would tell you that I don't think, based on my early research, that the prop stuff is fully adjusted for the fact that Blake Corum and Kyren Williams are no longer on a drive-by-drive split. It used to be like 2 drives for Kyren, 1 drive for Corum. But this last week, they basically, for the first time since Corum got drafted, they were in like a snap-by-snap split where Kyren would play 4 downs in a row, come out, Corum would come in for 3 downs, and then swap back out. The overall numbers look the same in terms of the playing time split, but the way in which they got to the playing time split was different.
What else should we know about Week 5? I know it's early. Well, relatively early. It's Wednesday. Games are on Sunday for the most part. Anything else we need to know or should think about heading into the weekend?
Just a couple things. If you're looking in the prop market, my guess is that Rashad White rushing stuff going to be a little bit high for the Buccaneers. I think that they'll probably post him. If I had to guess, his opening line will be 47.5 rushing yards. If it trends up to 54.5, I definitely would want to go lower on that. I think this will be a classic. Running back 1 gets injured. The running back 2 more or less stays in their role. Then the running back 3 gets promoted, so I think that is fairly interesting. And some of the favorite stuff I'm on this week is Detroit Lions ladder stuff. So like Detroit Lions to cover 17.5 points, Detroit Lions team total over 40.5, Jared Goff over 350 passing yards, Jahmyr Gibbs to score 2 touchdowns, stuff like that. The Lions are one of the few teams, maybe the last team actually left in the NFL, that just keep scoring until the whistle goes. The Bills don't do it. The Ravens don't do it. The Chiefs don't do it. The Chargers don't do it. None of these really, the Eagles won a game where they didn't complete a pass in the second half, right? So a lot of the good teams just stop scoring points. The Lions don't. And the Bengals are this unique type of bad where they can't run, so they shift to the pass, but they also can't really pass. So you just get in these pass, 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 punt series. They're like, oh, you just used 37 seconds of game clock and then punted and gave the ball back. Like, the Lions are happy to score 50. They did it twice last year where they got the 50, including one game where they scored a touchdown on every possession. And they've already done it once this year in week 2. They got the 52 with 0 punts. So some of those Lions ladders I really like.
What should Lamar owners do?
Pray.
Trade, pick up.
Done.
Yeah, I don't. It's like this is like a minimum 2 week injury, probably trending closer to four. The reason why you drafted Lamar is for him to get 50 rushing yards and, you know, 0.6 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns per game. And he's, I mean, Lamar is a good enough passer, right? To just, they could win 10 games with Lamar basically not running at all. So it's just one of those things.
Man,
I've got Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. I've never bet them before. And I already see the way this is breaking. Josh Allen's going to have to beat Mahomes in the playoffs. And I'm already, it's October 1st. I'm already terrified about this, Davis.
Yeah, I mean, look, I try to not be too much of an overt homer. But it's the Bills. You just got to show me you can do it, right? I guess the thing that will probably be different this year is Kansas City will probably win closer to 10 games. They might not even win the division. The Chargers might win the division instead. So it will be Kansas City traveling to Buffalo. So at least you've got that. I mean, Burrow, the only AFC quarterback to beat Mahomes. I mean, that game, I have nightmares thinking about that 2021 AFC conference championship game. But I got to say, I was about as dark as it got in Chiefs fandom, 4 days ago. And just seeing the proof of concept, like the touchdown pass that Mahomes did to Juju, he throws it before Juju's head is even turned. The defenders like are closing in on the ball, and it was in the spot where only Smith-Schuster could get to it. And I was like, wow, I've not seen him make an anticipation throw like that in maybe years, honestly. So it feels like they kind of have their stuff back.
Only have time for one word answer. Will Mateer play against Texas?
Yes. No chance is he missing. None.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go. Davis Maddock, good stuff there. Make sure you follow him on X. Find all his content. Links there. YouTube, a bunch of other stuff as well. Joe O, Sammy P, and we're going to do our power rankings on the other side, BetMGM Network.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue here on Vet Sweats, Joe O, Sammy P, Wednesday morning. Appreciate Davis Maddock for dropping by on the show. We are live on X this hour, live on X, bet_sweats @Joe Ostrowski here at SP Shoot there. So every Wednesday morning, we do our power rankings. Had to change things up a little bit. It is normally 10 a.m. Eastern time, and we've got our list. It's a list of three. You see it on the board there, list of three. And we decided to go college football. And the route we took, quarterbacks that you trust. This I found to be challenging, but it's a good thing. It's a good exercise, and maybe it'll help you for this weekend or the coming weeks in college football, because you have so many transfers, guys that have changed situations, new coaches, and maybe they've had success early in the year, but maybe not the best competition as they're just starting getting into conference play here. So, Sam, why don't you start us off? Start with number three, college football quarterbacks that you trust.
I didn't even realize it until just now that none of my quarterbacks have lost a game this year.
Wow.
Maybe that's uh-oh, why I got to these three quarterbacks. Right. We'll talk about it. Number one is not going to surprise you. Two and three, I think, might. So number three is a graduate transfer. So he's been around the block. 13 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 184.6. And he's about to go to Alabama and cover. That's Diego Pavia. I've been following him since he was at the Military Institute in New Mexico. Bet him a lot at New Mexico State and now at Vanderbilt. And it's very wild because after the great run Vandy had last year, mostly captained by Pavia, the win total this year was set at 5.5 in the summer. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense because it's Vanderbilt. They're 5-0. Because of him, and he can do anything on the football field. He's pretty solid at protecting the ball. He just plays so hard, and his teammates love him. And I will be on the Vandy side for sure. I don't like a lot of things Tuesday and Wednesday, but I know for sure that Vandy's on my short list, and I will take north of 10. Diego Pavia, the way that he is so infectious in that locker room, and he just makes big plays. I mean, every time you see him out there, you think he could do something. I don't have Pavia Heisman stock. I missed the boat on that. I don't really feel like jumping in now at 15-1 or less, but I will trust him with money on him, and I will have money on him this weekend. But he's just an upper-class kid that I trust. Number two, also undefeated this year. He's 5-0. He's Haynes King at Georgia Tech. This guy is such a warrior, man. When it's 3rd and 3, he wants the first down himself. That's the type of player he is. Very physical, very strong, very bullish in terms of getting the yardage when Georgia Tech needs the yardage. I think he's gotten better as a passer, but you just really have to, Joe. When you're putting a list together like this, you have to find these guys that have been around the block. And with Haynes King, another redshirt senior who's been through it, who knows what it's like to lose. Haynes King was also the quarterback that found a way to beat Miami when Miami didn't take the knee a couple of years back. Haynes King was that quarterback that threw the game-winning touchdown when Miami should have had the game in the back. So I've kind of paid attention to him since that moment. And how do you not look at what they've done this year and think, oh, he's the reason for that? So that's a guy I think down the stretch I'll look to back quite a bit, especially as a dog. Haynes King, number two. Number one, not a surprise. You knew I was going to put Carson Beck on line one. I don't understand why people don't like him. Well, then again, I kind of do. I see some of the reasons. But all he does is win. He's 28-3 as a starter, Carson Beck. 28-3. He was 24-3 at Georgia, then got hurt and missed the playoff game where they lost to, was it Notre Dame? I think it was Notre Dame, right? Yeah, Notre Dame. And then Notre Dame beat Penn State, a real team.
Yep.
He just wins. He's 4-0 this year. Now, granted, the weaponry is awesome. I think Miami's done a great job recruiting, and the offensive line is sensational. I think they have the best offensive line in college football. But you try and poke holes in a kid like that, well, I don't like the way his face looks, or I don't like – shut up. The guy wins football games, and he's going to take Miami to either 11-1 or 12-0, make the playoff, and people are still going to try and poke holes in his game. He, coming into Georgia, was talked about as number one pick good. And I think his first season at Georgia was just fine. And then it just didn't kind of work out there. And he transfers and he is in the perfect system, in the perfect offense that just made Cam Ward the number one pick in the draft. I trust Carson Beck more than I should. I have him to win the Heisman, so maybe I'm trying to speak this into existence. But in the fourth quarter, down by 6 points, needing a touchdown, there is no quarterback I trust more than Miami's Carson Beck.
All right. There you have it. Pavia, King, and then Beck number one overall. Sometimes we come into this, and we always go blind. We have no idea. We do not talk it over. Okay, you take this guy, I'll take – there's none of that going on. So sometimes when it happens live on air, we're shocked that we are so different. And then sometimes we're shocked that our lists are so similar, because this was, I viewed it as a complicated thing with all the changes. And, well, I'll just let you decide where we land. Number three, almost didn't make the list. I was going back and forth with another quarterback. I went with Carson Beck at number three. I didn't think he was going to make the list, but it was between him and Nussmeier. And just, you know, Nussmeier this year, his numbers aren't what you expected, especially after winning as a dog on the road in the first game of the year. Like, and then this past week, you know, probably swayed me a little bit with the loss there and not doing much offensively. But I did go with Carson Beck. I looked at guys that have experience, you know, that have skins on the wall. And certainly Carson Beck does. His third year as a starter, when you're there that long at Georgia, getting it done at the high level of the SEC, you've earned my trust. I mean, I think you're like, why don't people trust him? Why don't people like him? I think they remember that 24 touchdown, 6 interception year, and then he's the favorite to win the Heisman, and people talking about him all offseason, and he doesn't meet those expectations. So then he ends up leaving Georgia. I think that's part of it. Like, they remember when he was a favorite and he didn't win it. So then he's viewed as a disaster. Now, well, we're seeing this year that that is not the case. So Beck makes my list as well. Not as high as you, but I did put him at number three overall. Number two, speaking of trying to speak things into existence, I put John Mateer, number two, the starting quarterback against Texas coming up in a couple of weeks. Just about a week and a half from now. Yep, I'm going with John Mateer. Look at the leap that he's taken already. And I know a lot to be decided because we haven't seen him against the toughest opponent yet. But he's passed every test so far with flying colors. His OC comes with him. That was a narrative. Is he going to be good? I don't know. Oh, he's bringing his OC from Waz. Yes. Yes. And he's been awesome so far. And I think he's going to be on the field in about 10 days or so. And I'm expecting him to shock the world. And I can't wait to get to that game. But I'm going John Mateer. And maybe, yes, there is a little bit of projection there. Number one overall, I took your three, Sammy. I went with Pavia, number one overall.
And just, what?
You asked me this yesterday, and I don't think I would have been there. And then the more and more I thought about it, after we talked it through, and then I started thinking about last year, of course, you remember Bama and that upset. What was the biggest upset of the year last season? The entire college football calendar.
Vandy over Bama. Had to be.
100%. As a 23-point dog, it was Vanderbilt over Alabama. In his time now at Vandy, at less than a year and a half, we're talking about 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Last year, as a 13-point dog to Virginia Tech, won outright. I mentioned Bama. Right after that Bama game, they're a 13-point dog to Kentucky, wins outright. A big dog to Texas, they only lost by 3. Big dog to Tennessee late in the season, only lost by a field goal. Earlier this year, they're a short dog to South Carolina, one of those hot teams all offseason. They whoop them 31-7. Like, what other tests does this guy have to pass? Big dogs, you don't want to go against them. And that makes me think about this weekend. I hear people say they love Pavia, but I'm going on the other side. Careful. Careful. History tells us that's not a good idea. So, quarterback I trust, imagine him at a higher profile school, right? Imagine him at one of the big schools and the difference that he would make. Look at the difference he's making now against better competition. So quarterback I trust the most, I'm going Pavia 1, Mateer 2, Beck 3.
I love that you went Pavia 1. Did not expect that. I don't want to say that I wouldn't know what to make that price. Like if somebody said, what are the odds that Joe puts Pavia 1? I don't. Maybe 20 to 1. But that would have been a nice long shot ticket for some. He also, you brought up the point about what if he was here or what if he went there. He wants to be at Vandy because Vandy took a chance on him. He loves where he's at, what they've created. And I honestly believe if you ask Diego Pavia about Saturday's game, he wholeheartedly believes they're going to win. Not even a shred of doubt. He thinks they're going to get the ball, go down the field, score 7, and they're going to have success all day long. That's why I roll with that guy. So naturally, we have to take Vanderbilt this weekend, right? If you have them 1 and I have them 3, how do we not take the points?
How do we not take the 10.5? We have to. And we're going against the high of the Georgia win. Like there are a lot of things that line up. Just at the very least, taking the points. Boy, if he were to pull that off. What if they win? What do we get?
I'd be very happy.
Plus,
very happy they won.
You can get plus 325 over at BetMGM. Yes. You would be happy.
I'm going to make a prediction here. I think Vandy's going to be in the room. I think Vandy plus 10.5 is going to be in the room.
Off the Bama win over Georgia?
No. Off Bama beating Georgia?
I mean, there's that counterpoint, which is fair, but Pavia is Manziel 2.0. I think, and Manziel apparently is going to be on the sideline. I just think as far as hype and trendy, I think Vandy's going to be in the room. I missed the 10. It was there for like 6 hours. I can't say I'm going to lay 10.5, but I'll be looking at
Bama. Oh, you are. Okay.
Yeah.
If Vandy's in the room, I'll be very sad, and I will get off whatever position I have on Vandy at that point in time. My only counter to that would be that the room is generally late to the party. The room had Georgia last week. Georgia was one of the 5. Nobody wanted to bet Bama. And then Bama goes into Athens and snaps that long winning streak, and the room goes, oh, Bama is good. Now I'm going to lay 10.5. Like, that's kind of how the room thinks.
Correct.
I'd be surprised, actually. We might have to do a little side bet Pauly on this one, on who's in the room, okay. Vandy or Bama. Just a quick nugget on DeBoer, by the way. I had this come across my desk yesterday. Alabama is an underdog under DeBoer. Very, very good. But DeBoer is a dog all time, 10-2 ATS. 10-2. 9 outright wins. DeBoer is a favorite, 26-24-1 ATS, 7 outright losses as a double-digit favorite. Joe, that's the definition of playing up to the competition and playing down to the competition.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Is there a quarterback that you almost got to in your top 3, but you just couldn't quite get there?
I thought about Ty Simpson, but I don't trust him yet. I think the potential is there.
Yeah.
I need to see a little bit more. With these guys, I've seen it for years. And as they've matured into this season, one of the guys is 5-0. The second guy is 5-0. And Carson Beck is 4-0. I want seasoned quarterbacks that know how to win, that have learned how to win, I think is more important. I think Simpson could be a great quarterback, but I haven't seen enough yet to put him on there. I almost went, okay, the one guy that I wanted to put in there, but he's definitely not trustworthy because he's like Kyler Murray of college football, is Castellanos at now he's at Florida State. I almost said Boston College. Used to be at Boston College. I like him, but I can't trust him.
I almost went Mendoza. I was kind of close on him. And then Nussmeier, like, I don't think he's meeting the expectations, but I was looking at experienced guys, guys that have shocked the world, guys with big wins and big spots. So that's kind of how I got my list. And I think you were on some level doing the exact same thing because we had two of the three the exact same. I was not projecting that at all. Joe O, Sammy P, what about some live dogs? What about some teaser plays? That's next. Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live Dogs teasers coming up, National Football League, week number 5. But I think this was an off-air conversation, so we might as well mention it on air. You are going to lay a monster number. You're going to lay a number north of 8 touchdowns this weekend in college football. And I can't argue against it. In fact, I'm probably going to jump aboard with you because when I saw the number on Sunday, the same thought went through my brain. Which game are you talking about?
It's not 8 touchdowns, is it? No. Not even 7.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I lost track.
Maybe I...
Did you push a button?
Maybe I ladder it. Maybe I ult it. I think Oklahoma is going to destroy Kent State. Number 45.5 right now. So Hawkins is going to start, obviously. Mateer's out. Uh-huh. But there's a lot that Hawkins has to prove because he's the quarterback in waiting. Let's assume that Mateer comes back eventually. You hope it's for Texas. I think it's the week after, but we'll see. I think the hope there is that he finishes strong and then gets drafted. So Michael Hawkins then becomes the quarterback one next year. And when they brought in John Mateer, Hawkins stayed. He didn't leave. He stayed because he wants to be the quarterback of the future. And I think there's a lot that he has to prove and a lot that he wants to put on tape. Oklahoma also defensively is very, very good. We talked about Kent State a couple weeks back, maybe 3 weeks ago. And I wrote a story about how Kent State was one of the worst college football teams of all time. We laid 48, some laid 48.5 late, final score 62-14. That was with Texas Tech, a team that's not really known for defense. You know, I mean, it's just not. It's known for getting up and just lighting up the scoreboard. Oklahoma's got a defense led by Brent Venables. So they're going to shut the water off on Kent State. And when we first talked about this game Monday, you're like, wait a minute. The total's 53.5. The side is 45.5. They're basically saying Kent State's going to score maybe one touchdown. The issue is Oklahoma is not going to stop. Oklahoma's going to blow this team out. And if I think Oklahoma's better than Texas Tech, why wouldn't I lay 45.5 when I was so willing to lay 48 with a team that's not as good? Oh, because John Mateer is not playing? I'm not saying John Mateer isn't worth anything.
What is it if Mateer's out there? What is it if he's out there? What's the line?
48, 49? I mean, what's he worth in that system? Like, the system is so good and the opponent is so bad. I don't know how much he's worth. I mean, like, Lamar Jackson's worth 8 points, supposedly, in the NFL. So how much is Mateer to Hawkins? I don't know, like 4, maybe? 4.5?
Wasn't that long ago, Arch Manning was going to be the first quarterback drafted. Cade Klubnik shortly after him. Drew Aller right there too, right? Things change quickly. Get a month of football and whoa, okay, everything's flipped. And what I'm doing is backing up your point that Mateer's probably gone. If he plays like he did early on, it continues into SEC play, he's going to be gone. He's going to be one of the highest drafted quarterbacks in the draft. So, Hawkins, he'll have his chance coming up very shortly. All right, Joe O, Sammy P, we do teasers and live dogs every week. So now we're at a point with this Rams number where, okay, you've got divisional matchup. It's a touchdown. They bet the Rams again. It's a sevens painted across the board now. It's going to be a survivor play just based on the number. Like Indy's minus 7. What else is in that range? Arizona now 7.5, even though it was higher. Detroit 10.5. Buffalo 7.5. Are the Niners a live dog? Can we make that case?
You'd be happy to know. We do a thing after our shows, you and I, we alternate. It's called Beat the Books. Mm-hmm. And guess who decided to put Niners plus 6 in Beat the Books yesterday? This guy.
Oh, wow. So, that's why you reacted when I said they just bit the Rams.
Well, whatever. I didn't get CLV on that one. So
whatever. Yeah,
I love giving those games out across the country. And it's like, oh, bet 6 on the Niners. 7 the next day.
Hey, I gave out the Broncos on Monday. No, I didn't. I took the Bengals.
It's fine.
It was great.
I saw the report yesterday, though, about the issues with San Francisco. David Lombardi had this. Brock Purdy, Ricky Pearsall, and Juwan Jennings did not practice. That was yesterday. Mm-hmm. They have not been ruled out yet that I saw. But usually, as Ian Rappaport added to the report, on a short week, no practice is a bad sign. When you're not practicing on Tuesday and the game is Wednesday, or sorry, when the game is Thursday, not ideal. You have famously said, though, that Kyle Shanahan can't be trusted. I'm holding out hope that maybe they play. It's hard not to take 7 in my book. But I have a feeling that the Rams are going to be very popular, not only Survivor, but ATS. People are going to lay the points with the Rams, no doubt.
Give me a live dog on this card that you like.
Besides Raiders? The Titans?
Live meaning wins the game? Titans blow up
you
Survivor
said Arizona,
against Arizona?
You said Arizona's going to ruin Survivor.
They scare me. They scare me, man. I don't know about lining up with them, and I have not used them. Some people have already used them against New Orleans or Carolina. There's a reason I haven't. They scare me.
Live dog. Here you go.
Yeah.
Let's go Washington against the Chargers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's back?
I think he plays.
Okay. Then that's legit. McLaurin? Don't know. Not New England. Not going Jaguars, probably.
Jacksonville. I just...
Yeah, to win.
Man, it's when you go against Mahomes on either Sunday night or Monday night, you feel good about it, And then all of a sudden the game starts and you hear the music to the broadcast and you're like, well, I'm going to lose. Like, you just know. So I just don't. Remember last year we did this? Was it with, I think it was with Atlanta. Atlanta was on Monday night or Sunday night at home against the Chiefs. We even got a good number. We took 5.5 or something like that, and the game got down to 3.5 or 3. And they go, dun, 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 dun. I'm like, oh, we lost. Turn it off. Yep. Yep. You just know. You know what's going to happen in prime time.
Why is Seattle favored by 3.5 against the Bucs?
Because mommy doesn't love daddy anymore.
Damn. Darnold over Baker, huh?
I don't. I thought you would laugh at that. I've been saving that one all day. Well, Tampa's been very, very, what's the word? Pesky. I mean, the first three games they were down to the wire in every single game. And I did think they were resilient in that game against Philly. I mean, a lesser team just crumbles and doesn't fight, but they made it a game for sure. Philly took an early lead in that game. I saw no seconds of the game because I was tied up, as you know, figuratively, not literally. But, I mean, they've been in every game. So why would they suddenly not be in a game against a team quarterbacked by Sam Darnold?
It's a tough defense, but, yeah, they prove it again and again. The Eagles are a tough defense, too. And they were down, what, 26-3 in that game? It comes down to the very end. And the Eagles did nothing in the second half. That Bucs defense, strong rush defense. So, man, I kind of look at that one. That 3.5 jumps out. And here's one totally off the radar. I don't even think we've talked about this game all week. Are the 0-4 Jets live at home against the Cowboys? The 40-40 overtime tie. People are high on the Cowboys again. I don't know. Try to figure out what the hell that team is. A desperate Jets team on a short week at home.
You would think they're going to empty out every trick that Aaron Glenn and his coordinators have. I mean, desperation works in mysterious ways in this league. The problem is if you're not a good team and you gamble, you run out of money. That's what happens. They bet the over in this game, ironically enough. And I think a lot of the talk has been about how bad or anemic the Jets offense is, but they're betting the over, and I think that's a lot to do with who they're tangoing with. The Cowboys are just a joke on defense. And, you know, it's fun to pile on Matt Eberflus because the guy stinks. But imagine taking anybody's best player away and saying, all right, figure it out. It's not a great situation for him. But I remember we ranked our coaching staffs in the summer, and I had Dallas near the very bottom with Shoddy and Eberflus. I understand the move to the over. I'm not laying points with Dallas, especially after they just played that way on Sunday night. Oh, maybe Dallas is okay. And then they go to New York / Jersey and lose to the Jets. So the Jets would be definitely a short list team for me this week. Here's another one I thought about. And I know that you're waiting for the other shoe to drop on the Colts, right? Like maybe they have a bad game finally. If you told me that Geno Smith threw no interceptions, I'd like the Raiders, but I just don't know that that's possible because he just loves giving the ball to the other team.
And they put their left tackle, Colton Miller, on IR yesterday. So the line was bad to begin with, and now it's going to be worse. Geno's better on the road, but I know. I don't know that I'll have anything on that game. I'll give you a locked-in teaser leg, Buffalo.
Okay.
Find a partner,
though. Oh, yeah. Oh, we can find a partner very easily. How about, the Jets fit the template.
Yes.
You go plus from 8.5. You're a home team. You go from 2.5 through 3, 7, and 8. Jets plus 8.5 and Bills minus 1.5. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. Not a great week for teasers. I don't love a lot of options out there. Do I want to take the Colts minus 1? Nah.
What about Tampa up to 9.5? I know some guys are like, can't tease the 9.5. Watch me.
Yeah, are the Seahawks going to blow them out? I don't think so. It's not a bad call. Not a bad call there. All right, let's talk some Major League Baseball coming up. Foul Territory's Kevin Pillar. will be dropping by. Joe O, Sammy P, talk about what happened yesterday, but more importantly, what's going to happen in today's four games. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.